It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I want to be here, but you know, when you look up, all the great quarterbacks I watched played for other teams. So my point in saying that is, that's not something to fear. That may be a reality for me one day, may not be my decision. So that's the freedom that I have is, be where your feet are, make the most of it, be confident in yourself, make your team better. I love my teammates, I love that locker room, I love everything about being out here in Oxnard and being a Dallas Cowboy. So that's what allows me to be free and focused and understand that in time comes, who knows what comes. As I said, I've been through a lot of adversity personally, that it's about being thankful for where you are, hugging and loving on your loved ones and taking it one day at a time and handling the rest when it approaches.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Waiting his turn on the contract game.
Way to be on the positive end of things, too.
I mean, he's always been a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
So
too many people calling him Dakota. Put respect on his name. Come on.
I mean, if he wants to be called Dakota.
Is that his name? What's his full name? Is it Dakota? Oh, God. It's Dakota Boneless Wing.
You Prescott. Are distraught.
I will never emotionally be the same. I'm just forever fuming at that actually being a thing.
Yeah, Dak's a nickname. It's part of Dakota's his middle name.
Oh, okay. So he's got like the Mac Jones thing going on.
Yes.
Okay. Understand.
So
Mac and Dak.
Mac and Dak.
Whoa.
So, yeah, you're just distraught from the Ohio ruling about boneless wings that have bones in them.
It's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I mean, sports takes aside because we do hear some pretty ridiculous things. Not really, though. That might just be the most outrageous thing I've ever heard.
Once I saw that on Thursday, I was like, that's in the chamber for me already, booty cheek of the week.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. I didn't even see that on Thursday.
Yeah. So.
Oh. I'm done. I can't think about it anymore. We got to talk Bills.
Joe is just incapable of doing anything right now.
Like, okay, I feel horrible for the person whose esophagus is no longer intact, right? Like,
they can heal those sorts of things.
Yeah, like, they can repair it, whatever, but still recovery. I feel bad for that person.
Yes.
But, like, who are the justices ruling on this? Like, that's what I'm wondering.
In Ohio?
Yeah.
That's the best I got.
Well, their signs in and out of the state are going to be looking a little different in about a week. So, some time off.
Joe's going to just buy some vinyl and just slap it on there.
Yep. I'm actually going to weld it on. I can't take it off.
Joe's broken. I don't know if we're going to be able to get him for another 2 hours on this. However, the Dak Prescott clip there, it brings up something from this morning and yesterday even, because a couple of quarterbacks got paid their contracts. Next
yes,
in line.
They did.
And Dak Prescott has been waiting and waiting and waiting. That price is going to go up and up and up if he is to be signed and retained.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why teams are waiting.
Or the Dallas Cowboys are just not going to pay him. All right. And the thing is I think that Prescott is in the upper half of quarterbacks in this league.
He's solid.
If you build around him enough, you should have a good contending team. And the thing is, the Cowboys have been a contending team for years. And Prescott has been their guy.
Like, that's tough. They have Trey Lance in the sideline now, though.
That's neat.
But he's also not.
Have you seen enough from the most unproven top three pick?
No.
In NFL history?
Nope. Everyone calling him the next Josh Allen. I haven't seen anything out of him. I'm not.
Yeah.
But I do feel bad for Dak in a way.
So let's talk about the contracts real quick. Because it's an interesting little conversation to have about Tua getting the deal, Jordan Love getting his, and a little bit of the hypocrisy that's going to go around with that. Because I'm seeing a lot of people saying, or I'm seeing people say, I don't know about a lot of people, but like, obviously Bills fans here are like, oh, awesome, Tua got that contract. That's sweet. He is better than we all give him credit for, I think. And it's the fan in us. We want Miami to struggle. But the guy did lead the league in passing yards last year. A lot of it does have to do with the pieces that are built around him. However, he's taking up a less percentage of the team's salary cap than Josh Allen is. Mm-hmm. Jeremy White posted a graphic this morning about it. Allen and Burrow are two and one in terms of percentage of the cap being locked into your quarterback.
Yeah.
So even though Allen's fine.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Allen's number is
lower, but that's because the cap keeps going up.
Mm-hmm. And once you clear Diggs' money, you'll have some space on the Bills side of things.
Yes, but the thing is that at the time of signing, Josh Allen's cap hit percentage is higher.
Yeah.
Tua is just sneaking into the top 10 of that conversation. Jordan Love is just sneaking into the top 10 of that conversation.
You want to know another funny Cowboys tidbit real quick?
Yeah.
Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has two words for not offering an extension to his head coach who has had three consecutive 12-win seasons. Green Bay. He said that Thursday, July 25th about Mike McCarthy, too. Just another Cowboys extension tidbit there. So he's not getting one either.
So here it is. Ready? Oh, Tua's not even in the top 10. Excuse me.
He's not?
No. So here it is. Percentage of cap via the contract signing and the year that they're signed, okay? Burrow, 24.4 back in 2023, so last year. Allen, 23.5 back in 2021. Herbert, 23.3. That was last year. Lamar, 23.1 last year. Patrick Mahomes in 2020, 22.7%. Jalen Hurts, 22.6 last year. Kyler Murray in 2022, it's at 22.1%. Watson in 2022, despite not playing for an entire year and getting all this guaranteed, 22.09%.
Yeah.
Prescott in 2021, when he signed an extension that's going to be coming up, 21.9%. That's at ninth. Jordan Love and Trevor Lawrence share the percentages from their extensions this year at 21.5%. And Tua is in 12th. He takes 20.7% of Miami's cap.
It's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
No.
And Jeremy made a point, though, to say, here's a different way to look at how the quarterback market has exploded. Applies to any position. And then he says, see what's happening. When it comes to these things, it means that the cap keeps increasing. And the thing is that when it flattens, there is where the teams are going to feel their hurt. The Bills are still getting through Allen's contract, and when he signed it, it was a bigger piece of it. But if everything keeps going up, it's the price to pay to conduct business.
Yeah, and that's what everyone has to remember at the end of the day. The NFL is just a big business. Nothing personal.
Yes, but that's the cost of doing business. Mm-hmm. So I commend the Dolphins for signing Tua to the extension that they did because it's not a bad deal when it comes to the price of doing business. Because what are you going to do from there?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to take a team that's going to be drafting in the 20s and take a quarterback? Because as annoying as Miami is and how often they crumble down the stretch and in the postseason, they're a good enough team that they're picking in the 20s every year.
Yeah.
That is reality. That's a fact. And that means it's going to be harder for you to draft a guy if you don't think that Tua is the guy.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right?
And Dallas is the same thing here. If you don't think that Prescott's going to be the man and you don't want to give him another contract.
Mm-hmm. How long is Tua locked in for?
I'm going to need a second on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was interesting how long they waited to get this done. I think that was one thing.
4 years.
4 years. Okay, 4 years.
So it's not like these are like 7-8 year deals. And that's where the value of the Allen contract, the Mahomes contract,
they're longer deals.
They're longer
deals. You've got them locked in. Yeah. I mean, if you look, though, Buffalo KL just tweeted this out. about Allen and Tua comparison here.
Yeah, Allen, by comparison, Allen had signed a 6-year.
Yes, so two more years. And most likely, when is that up? It's coming up. Oh, I forgot when he signed that. A couple years
ago now, right? In 2021.
Yeah, okay. So we're 3 years in, halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo KL just posted on X, 2019 Josh Allen, 2023 Tua comparison. I have to throw this out there. I saw this. Defensive head coach for Allen, John Brown, no first-round wide receivers, bad O-line, 29 touchdowns, 13 turnovers, and a wild card team. And then Tua, 2023, offensive genius head coach, 5-time All-Pro wide receiver 2, drafted 6th, bad O-line, and 19 turnovers, and wild card team.
Here's the thing. I don't care too much about the stats and like how the surrounding cast is.
Yeah.
Because let's think about something here. Stephon Diggs helped wake up Josh Allen. Yeah. That is a reality.
Credit to Josh's uptick in success. That's Stephon Diggs.
Yes. Now we get to see how legit it is. Because at the last half of this past season, we saw some of that. He was still producing numbers with Stephon Diggs not carrying his fair share.
Yeah, Joe Brady was spreading the pie to everybody, cutting up a piece.
And that leads me to a lot better of a belief. The Dolphins, if Tua's only taking up 20% of the cap, again, price of doing business with the fact of quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Yeah, people want a separate quarterback cap now. Do you see that?
It makes sense.
Yeah.
However, you can keep reloading wide receivers a lot easier than you can quarterbacks that can capably distribute you the football.
Mm-hmm.
So if Tua has the offensive system that he continues to thrive in.
Jalen Waddle.
Tyreek Hill. They're going to get a Hill replacement.
Yeah, when he eventually retires. He wants to retire soon, right?
It's not even retirement. It's his contract's coming due as well.
And he probably won't renew it.
The Dolphins probably won't renew that because they'll pick the younger Waddle, which is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Like they'll look. The Chiefs looked for a younger Tyreek Hill and Xavier Worthy, essentially.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chiefs, it took them a couple of years to get that. However, you can win with receivers that are not the likes of Tyreek Hill, as the Chiefs have proven.
Yeah.
Is Tua Patrick Mahomes?
No.
No. But can you scheme players properly? San Fran's doing this with Brock freaking Purdy.
Yeah, it's all about timing. Tua's big on timing. That's really it. That whole offense, the Bills disrupted that timing.
It's structure.
Yeah, it's just...
And if you have a good defensive coordinator worth their salt, plus players athletic and smart enough to make that disruption happen...
Yeah, you snuff it out.
Then you could snuff it out.
Mm-hmm.
However, not every team's built like that.
No, teams last season, the Dolphins had a pretty solid record. Like, they were still...
The Dolphins
came down to the last game between the Bills and them for the AFC East and the 2 seed.
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't like...
And that was with Miami doing their usual December swoon.
Yes, and also, you know, no teams over 500 or whatever. Like, I hate to rag on that, but it's just like...
This year,
like that's what everyone's saying. But
this is going to be a proving year because they get the second place again.
And Tua's got to prove he deserves the contract.
He's earned that contract. Mm-hmm. And also, Miami is still trying to figure out how to beat Buffalo.
Yeah, they 11 are chasing and 1 the Bills. In the last few years. Yeah.
Like how the Bills had always been chasing the Patriots. However, this is different because Miami is still a team that is good enough to compete.
Now, here's my question for you.
When the Bills were always chasing the Patriots, it was just no.
Yeah.
No, we're not even the same. We're not even the same building. Miami's in the same building. They're just on a lower floor.
Yeah. Well, the Jets, that was my question. Are the Jets?
The Jets are asking for change outside.
They are. They're outside with the hat off, kind of just sitting on the curb, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. See, like that's
spouting off conspiracy theories.
That's where I'm kind of
right.
Got him. Yeah. That's where I kind of lose it on the Jets, right? Like people. A lot of NFL media are saying, oh, they're going to be a 12-win team, they're going to take the division. I don't know. Like, yeah, they beat Buffalo last year with Zach Wilson in the first game, right? Like, that was tough. I was sitting in the stands for that game. That was not fun. But I don't think it's a guaranteed you're going to win the division. They do have an easier schedule, though. Like, that is the thing at the end of the day. They can plow through that schedule a little easier than the Bills can go through theirs.
But again, I think that it's a good contract for Miami to make sense doing it. He also didn't get more than Trevor Lawrence did, which is huge to me.
Yeah, that's big.
That's a big deal.
Trevor Lawrence got a lot, too.
Trevor Lawrence, if I'm going to call one of those contracts into question, it's Lawrence, mm-hmm. not Tua.
No, yeah.
Because Tua, at least... has proven a little bit more consistently that he can distribute the football
Made
around.
Made a playoff appearance, and, led the NFL in passing, too.
And, like, the joke about his name, about turn the ball over, like, no, he doesn't really do that much. You know who does? Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence does.
Trevor
too.
Lawrence fumbles almost as much as Daniel Jones does.
Yeah.
Like, he is not as good as he was hyped up to be.
No.
He's not even the best quarterback. Well,
did you see Daniel Jones' video? He overthrew a screen pass on the first day of training camp.
But Trevor Lawrence, thank goodness the quarterback class that he had is like Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson.
One of them being his backup now, Mac Jones. He's in Jacksonville.
And Justin Fields. Yeah. That is his quarterback class.
Mm-hmm.
He's easily the best quarterback of his class.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. No, he's not. Because Brock Purdy was taken with the last selection.
Yes, you're totally right. Everyone forgets Brock Purdy's part of that class, including me.
And he's more consistent than Trevor Lawrence is.
He is, because the Shanahan system is pretty great.
Yes, but I would also like to say you still have to be a capable quarterback.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's the one
Why?
Thing where
because
people...
Why? Because Trey Lance already got traded. And Jimmy Garoppolo was a blight on society within San Francisco to the point where they found Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
And he works.
That's the thing. It just people go after Brock Purdy, and I'm like, at the same time,
but the thing is, that offense has also seen literally anyone play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Trevor Lawrence, you can argue, is not even the best quarterback of his class. And that class had Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Zach Wilson. And he still might be number two. It's hilarious to me. Yet he got the big contract when... He hasn't proven anything else other than, oh, you beat the Chargers who love to collapse because Brandon Staley's a terrible coach. All right, we got to go. We're coming back. We get Sal Capaccio in to talk the latest on Bills camp and the reports so far from St. John Fisher. Sports Talk Saturday moving on here. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, we're with you for an hour and a half. Sal Capaccio, the Sal Signal coming up next here. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's just about a lot of guys, everybody coming together, everybody doing their job, you know, going out there to make things happen. I like the guys in our room. I mean, I feel like everybody complements each other so well. I feel like everybody, you know, have a skill set that we utilize the best to our ability, and we're going to make things happen. You know, you can't key on nobody. We're going to go out there and play ball.
Bills wide receiver Curtis Samuel. As training camp rolls on here, and we'll be dialing in with Sal Capaccio in just a couple moments here for you as he reports in from Bills, well, not from Bills training camp, but he will be reporting in about Bills training camp because Sal's doing some running around here today.
Oh?
Yes. But he's got the day off. He's using it. He's maximizing it like Sal would.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. And I can already see that we already have Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. The Sal signal is up, and it is ready as Sal Capaccio joins us now on a Sports Talk Saturday. Sal, officially, welcome back to football season for you.
Yeah, for sure. Welcome back to football. Welcome back to training camp. Welcome back to Buffalo, actually, as of last night. I got back in here today, back tomorrow for training camp. So here we go. It's that time of year, and it's not going to stop until hopefully into February.
Exactly. Hopefully. And Sal, of course, one of the big things about this training camp is that, for me at least speaking, and I know that I'm not alone in this, It feels like a different kind of excitement. We're used to this Bills team winning football games, but now they're not the betting favorites like they were the last 2 years. Now there is this question of how are they going to win games, because we should still expect them to win enough games to be a regular contender. But how is this team going to form and do that? That becomes the more fascinating aspect this year.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of new faces, a lot of new leaders, right? I mean, there's been a lot made of that as well. And, you know, I think that they have to create their own identity. What is that identity? It's going to be different than it was last few years, there's no doubt. No more Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Mitch Morse. You know, the list goes on and on. They've just really transformed themselves. It's just something that it's the new iteration of the Bills. So they'll find their own identity, and, you know, we'll see if it works. I think a lot of people are very skeptical of, you know, what the roster looks like. But I always say, as long as you have, you know, number 17, you'll be just fine. But, you know, obviously he's got a lot on his shoulders. We know that. And he's got a brand new group that he's throwing to, other than, you know, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, and Dawson Knox. I mean, Shakir is the only wide receiver that's caught a pass from him in a regular season game that's even on the roster now. So, you know, it's an undertaking, but I think they feel very confident in what they have.
Sal, of course, one of the big things, you mentioned the wide receiver room being one of those things of replacing Diggs, replacing Davis. And through 3 days of training camp, it looked like the offense has been making a lot of plays, and Keon Coleman has been creating a little bit of a highlight reel of sorts through the first 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, look, the talent is undeniable with Keon. His catch radius, way he can go up and grab balls, we've seen that on a few videos, you know, that I've posted, and you know, some fade patterns, things like that. We saw him, you know, beat Rasul Douglas on a one-on-one drill yesterday for a touchdown. For sure, you know, it's going to be the little things that are going to really, he's going to have to catch up to speed on. His get off at the line of scrimmage when he gets pressed, how to kind of maneuver in certain zone situations. I think he seems like he really understands the playbook. He knows where to be, when to be there. But those are all things that happen with time. He's a highlight reel for sure. I think that's great. It's the consistency you want. You know, he also had a play where he caught the ball and dropped it for a fumble, or it might have even been a drop. But either way, it wasn't a good play by him. Those are things that he's going to have to clean up a little bit as he goes forward. I would say so far, mostly positive stuff, and the positive has certainly outweighed the negative with Keon Coleman through 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the defensive side of the football, too, a couple players. This safety rotation is what I'm intrigued by. You see DeMar Hamlin in there. And what are your thoughts on him possibly obtaining a starting position or a heavy rotation in the season?
Well, I mean, he did start the first day, but I think it was more because Mike Edwards was still, you know, he had missed a lot of the OTAs and minicamp, and it was a nod to DeMar, how hard he worked and what he looked like during the offseason. But look, people forget, DeMar Hamlin's been here 3 years. This is his fourth year. He's still on a rookie contract. He's a player that understands the system, and he's not costing a ton of money. That's the kind of player that they really want to rely on right now as they go through this phase and this transition. So I don't think that he'll wind up being a starter. But I do think that he'll have a role as a main backup player. We'll see about Cole Bishop as well. And, you know, I think the safety position is really one that we've been talking about since Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde are gone, and, you know, how this looks. But DeMar is certainly going to be a guy they're going to rely on, you know, if something happens to one of those guys. And he'll play special teams, but I do think he's probably the number three or four safety.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Wesher Hotline. Sal, you mentioned it, though. Cole Bishop, Mike Edwards. In the last practice there in day three, it was Edwards and Bishop rotating in with the top unit. How do you think the safety competition is going to go here? As it looks like, I was assuming that Edwards would just get all the ones. Is it just like you had mentioned, how Edwards wasn't just quite ready to go for training camp? Or is there going to be the Bills looking at all options here for the player next to Taylor Rapp?
Well, they're going to have a competition. I mean, you know, the best player will win the job. I think it's a tall task for Bishop to win it. But let's remember, I mean, you know, you have 91 players on the roster. It's training camp. This is not like a regular season or game situation where you only go in when needed. Like, they platoon. They have a group of starters that they take a few snaps, they go out. They have a group of twos, they take some snaps, and they go out. And every day, you kind of shift there in between because, let's remember, you know, these guys have to learn how to play with each other too, right? So even if it's not just for competition purposes, it's also for getting used to being with certain guys and hearing certain voices and lining up certain places. So I think this will take a little while. I do see Rapp and Edwards being the starters. I think Cole Bishop will have a role. Then maybe Cole Bishop winds up working in as a starter, you know, as the season goes on or later in the season. But, you know, certainly he could win it. We'll see. But, you know, they'll open that up and give everybody an opportunity.
Sal, I want to bounce back to the receivers here because I'm looking back at a couple of the camp reports that you have on our website at WGR550.com. Mac Hollins and his usage so far, how often he's playing on the outside, and it looks like a player that the Bills are favoring. Also, Curtis Samuel being a guy that you've said has probably seen more footballs thrown his way than anyone else so far. What is the wide receiver grouping looking like based on the usage and the rotation in the opening of training camp?
Well, that's where you're going to get more of a heavy rotation. You know, you're going to have a lot of guys in and out at that position. You know, Josh is going to be throwing. You have, just by nature of the pure numbers you have, you have six guys maybe or so making the roster, I would think. And then you have guys fighting for spots on the back end. And, you know who your top four kind of are. I think Mac Hollins is really asserting himself as, you know, a guy that's a wide receiver first and then special teams guy, where maybe when they signed him, you thought of special teams first and wide receiver. But I do think that he's a guy that's asserting himself as, you know, making it, he's going to be somebody they rely on to catch passes. It is interesting to note that Keon Coleman has yet to take a snap, I believe, with anybody other than Josh Allen. They're really trying to work that chemistry and get them to him to understand Josh and Josh to understand him before they go forward. So, you know, and then you have Chase Claypool in the mix. I think Justin Shorter had a really nice first 3 days. I think Tyrell Shavers has stepped up a little bit. They have some real good competition going on the back end.
Sal, of course, everything with the competition on the back end of this roster. But there's another face that you highlighted in the day three notes, and that is a player coming back from injury in Matt Milano. Of course, write it in Sharpie that he's the starter at linebacker, but practicing in full capacity and starting to make some plays and flash again.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Matt is going to be, well, you know, it's coming up. He got hurt in October, so here we are in, you know, August coming up here. So it's going to be 10 months soon. Maybe we're just shy of, you know, we're just over 9 months here from him being removed from that injury. And it wasn't any ligaments. It was a leg, but it was a severe leg injury. And, you know, he's working his way back. He's been working his way back. They've been kind of slow playing it to make sure that, you know, he can be okay. And so far, so good. I know there's been a lot of talk and people putting videos out there about, you know, maybe he's got a hitch here or something like that. But I watch him every day, and I think he's really kind of just working himself out. He's kind of stretching his leg. He's moving his leg in different directions and trying to figure out what's working and what's not. I don't think it's anything to do with him being, you know, having any sort of ailment, you know, to what's going on in the leg. But we'll see. Now, look, if there was something wrong, this team would not have him out there working with the ones every day like he has been. He has done everything that anybody else has done on the defense. And yesterday he made a great play where he diagnosed a screen. He was able to kind of see it. He was able to get there quickly, fight through some traffic, basically, and, you know, make the play. And that's when you know that Matt Milano's there. And the other thing about Matt Milano is when he is healthy and he is out there, which we expect, it helps Terrell Bernard a lot. Terrell Bernard, you know, having a veteran like Matt next to him, they understand each other. They've been together for a couple of years now. It's going to allow Terrell Bernard to be even a better version of himself. And Terrell Bernard was pretty darn good last year.
Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, of course, when it comes down to it, competition is always good for everyone, and one of the things that you've got to be looking at here is Kyrie Elam. Year three, it's a big year for him. He has to try to earn his keep within this team after a very down year last year, and the hope is that he can be able to show up and create a three-man rotation, hopefully, in a best-case scenario with Christian Benford, Rasul Douglas, really kind of comfortably in those one and two spots.
Yeah, I mean, he's a real big key to the corner position. If he can kind of step up and be even just a solid backup, you know, that's what they would like. If you could get Dane Jackson type of play from Kyrie Elam, I think the Bills would be very, very happy with that. You know, I don't think he'll ever, and you know, this year you can't expect at least him to be live up to that first round status. That'd be amazing if that was the case. But listen, behind him, what do you have? Jamarcus Ingram and then a bunch of guys that really don't have much experience, you know, journeyman. I think in Kyren Brown and then a couple of guys that you really haven't played in the NFL. So it is really, really big for Kyrie Elam to be able to step up and continue his strong camp as, you know, OTA and mini camp in a training camp. And I think he's kind of looked apart and he's fighting. Christian Benford has missed some games over the last few years, and you got to have somebody there that can step right in. So if it could be Kyrie Elam, that would be absolutely great for the Buffalo Bills. And if he doesn't take that next step, that's the one position I think they would look at outside to really feel like if they need to add before the season starts.
Absolutely. Just one last thing, Sal, real quick. The tight end room has been a conversation with Dalton Kincaid getting reps and Dawson Knox coming off of his injury. Have you noticed anything going on there with Dawson Knox reps versus Dalton Kincaid's reps?
No, there's no competition, I don't think, as far as like who's going to be on the field. Like, Dalton Kincaid, to me, is their number one tight end. I don't think that Bills will even make any secret that he's the guy that they're going to, you know, he's going to maybe lead the team in targets. I mean, I would even predict. But I think Dawson Knox is just going to be a guy that's going to be on the field a lot with him in 12 personnel. He'll supplement him. He'll give him a breather. I think the real competition at tight end is going to be in the backup spot for the three spot. That's Quentin Morris against Zach Davidson. I think that's a heated competition that's going to go down to, you know, the next few weeks. But I think it's clear that Dalton Kincaid is this team's number one tight end. And then, you know, Dawson Knox will play when they want both guys in the field. And I think they want to have both guys in the field a lot, to be quite honest, especially in the red zone. I think you could look at something where they could have, you know, a real nice group there with those guys and some taller wide receivers.
Sal, what is coming up next for the Bills? You had mentioned you're back in Buffalo here today, and it's going to be probably out there once again for you, of course, as training camp rolls on.
Yeah, well, one day here, and then we're back at it, guys. Tomorrow morning, we're going to hear from Matthew Smiley, special teams coordinator, at 9:15 a.m., and we're going to talk a lot about ask him a lot about the new kickoff rules, right? It's going to be really interesting. So we're going to hear from him at 9:15, team back on the field at 9:45 tomorrow, and then they're back on same thing with Monday and Tuesday, and we're going to hear from Sean McDermott and Joe Brady and Bobby Babich over the next few days as well. So another round of three practices coming up starting tomorrow, each one of them at 9:45, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Sal, hey, because training camp's going to be here and it's going to keep rolling, we're going to be hearing a lot from you. And I'm probably going to have to text you after this to see if you're able to jump on tomorrow.
You got it, guys. Thanks. I'll be out there. Thanks, guys.
All right. Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline there as the Bills in training camp for – they're in training camp as it goes on here for the start of the preseason a couple weeks away.
Yeah. It's coming.
We're here.
Yeah, I'm excited. The closer
we've got Sale running back and forth.
Yes, going to.
That means we're back. And coverage of Bills training camp, yes, from St. John Fisher University is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. Brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Joe, there's a lot of questions about this team. And we're starting to get some of those answers early on. But the thing is, it's also only 3 days in. That's the other part of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's still only 3 days in. We don't know what's going to happen. And he made some good points about, like, when I brought up Kyrie Elam. Yeah, Benford's had a couple of injuries in his career already. That's not ideal. So if Elam's able to step up and then be almost this, hey, rotate right in and feel like nothing is wrong.
More depth, the better. That's where I'm at that
point.
More
depth, the better. And you can go ahead and look at that as a potential thing. He said if you get a Dane-level kind of production from him, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Sign me up, because that's a huge one.
The teams that are deeper, the ones that actually...
Dane Jackson was a serviceable starting corner for several years for this team. Of course, you want more from a first-round pick, but considering where Elam was seen last year when it came to the perception from the fan base, I'll take it if that's where he's able to re-elevate his play.
I would take anything.
I'm a Kyrie Elam fan. I'm going to be that guy that keeps hoping that he is able to produce.
I remember when we picked him. I was a fan of the pick. I really was. I liked it. I wanted a cornerback in the first round, and he was that. And unfortunately, he didn't pan out in his first year like he wanted him to. But the cornerback he picked later ended up doing so, and Christian Benford being a serviceable positional player there. So I think it'll be fine. I think he, honestly, that was one thing you noticed about him is he was good in man coverage. Bills played a lot of zone. His strength was man coverage coming out of college. Maybe the new defensive scheme with Bobby Babich under the helm is doing things a little differently. Maybe he's able to play a little better in the game he is best at.
Now, you want to talk scheme. There is something that I do want to talk about that.
Joe Brady?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting conversation.
That's a big conversation that we want to have.
So,
and that's going to be one that I'm probably going to take to the 1 o'clock hour.
The next one.
Because I'm very fascinated to see what the differences are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe if, look, man, I'll say it. I'm still a Ken Dorsey hater.
I am too.
I'm a certified hater.
That happened when Barbie came out. I made a shirt that says I wasn't Kenuff, and it's him walking out with his bags.
Yeah. It's just like, it's tough. Like, yeah. I didn't like the scheming and the spacing of route concepts.
No.
So now I'm hoping that, well, Joe Brady's having his offense in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been mentions, of course, Sal from talking on the morning show of, you know, there's going to be bits and pieces of what they do best in this. So there might still be pieces of Dorsey's offense in this.
There might be.
There might be a plenty from Brian Daboll.
They just need to do simple better. That's what they need to do.
They need to do simple better.
Because it was too complicated that with under Dorsey. That's the one complaint. You saw these routes they were running and you're like, what is happening here?
Exactly.
So I think Joe Brady's the answer to that question.
And if they can do simple better, look out.
Yeah, because you have the quarterback that can do simple better by himself too.
Hey, James Cook. They were running the ball so much more efficiently with Brady because it wasn't, hey, shove the guy who can scoot into a pile of humanity by himself.
Let's pretend he's a power back and shove him up the middle. Yeah, that's what we want to do.
And with no lead blocks either.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the other thing.
He's not going to do that.
Yeah, and they were running on a center, and it was working more effectively. And it just – that efficiency from the Brady offense at the end of the season gives me hope. And there's going to be a lot less frustration, I think, from the offense this year.
I'm excited. That is one thing. The two new coordinators are the two more exciting things, in my opinion, than because these schemes can change everything.
Yes. All right. 803-0550 is the number to call. If you want to talk about who you're most excited about, what are you worried about still about this team? Are there questions that still need to be answered for you? Are the quarterback contracts insane? I say not really. It's the price to do business. And yeah, the Bills do have a value there with Josh Allen, but I don't think it's the greatest of values anymore. Not anymore. It's a value still. It's just still the price of doing business. That's all this is.
Yeah.
And these contracts, they may not be as ludicrous as we once thought. Because I loved what Jeremy had said this morning. It was a lot of the making sure you're thinking differently and trying to break it all down. But the minute that the cap doesn't go up exponentially from all these TV deals, gambling, and all this other stuff, look out. That's when teams are going to start feeling some hurt.
Yeah.
But
no, you're absolutely right.
But you're not seeing a flat cap situation like, for example, hockey, where you look at, say, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the flat cap situation, how they were just – they've been decimated by five players on their contracts. Their big five takes up – two-thirds of
the entire
salary
thing.
Cap structure.
Yeah, pretty much.
For years.
Yeah, you doom yourself when you do
the
that.
The minute
that's
that the
it.
Cap doesn't have its growth like it has been, and it will slow down, that's when we're going to see trouble. The next quarterback that gets paid, which might be Dak Prescott. We'll take a break. Come on back. Probably throw some nonsense here for you to end the hour, as we are wont to do.
Mm-hmm. It's the way to do it on a Saturday.
But hey, whatever you want on a Saturday, it's open for you. We've got no guests. Last hour, all up to you here on WGR. Welcome back. Hour two wrapping up here. Sal Capaccio had just joined us. That will be on the website at WGR550.com as Sal is live.
All things training camp.
All throughout training camp.
Very exciting times.
And he was not even live from training camp, and he was still able to come in, call us, and give us the latest on training camp. That is how that Sal is a trooper with this sort of thing. When it comes to Bills training camp, how he's going to have to be everywhere and anywhere at this point with all things Bills. So I know everyone's already got the head nod going for Sal Capaccio, but
yeah,
this is the on-air version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Tip of the cap.
Sneaky Joe threw in a comment on the Tua situation, by the way.
Oh, boy.
He said, a reminder, the last game Tua played, season's about to end, throws it 10 yards short of the sticks on 4th and 16, quits on any chance at a miracle comeback because he was cold. Give me that type of competitor going against the Bills for the next 4 years all day.
I don't know. The thing is, I think he is good enough. And when you're in the top half of quarterbacks in this league, in its day and age, you need to pay the quarterback that is good enough to win. So, Joe, just a quick little nonsense blurb here for you.
Yes.
This is the second time we're going to mention the Olympics today. but there's two very notable names missing from the Olympics this year.
Two notable things. Well, I know we have breakdancing.
There's two names missing.
Names.
Yes. There's two notable names missing from the Olympics this year.
What sport?
All of them.
Oh!
Mario, yes, Mario and Sonic. This is the first Olympic Games that we don't have a title for Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
No, this...
Worst timeline.
This is just as bad as the wing thing.
I'm just using the end of our segments to just destroy you.
Yeah, you're just...
spiritually break you down.
That is crazy. I used to play those all the time as a kid. So... You know, it's pretty pretty remarkable that they didn't make another one. They're very popular still.
They're popular, but I think the thing is that you're paying for licensing, and those games have a very good replayability factor as they are right now, that it kind of makes sense why they didn't.
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is changing the region. That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's the same things. It's going to be the same games.
They had equestrian in it.
Yeah.
In a couple of years ago. Is that still an Olympic sport, equestrian, or did they get rid of that? All I know is they're going to have flag football with no NFL players available because it's all during training
camp. All I'm thinking about is why Sonic would be riding a horse.
That's my question. Why would he be swimming if he can't swim? He had a life jacket on, actually. Never mind. They filled that hole.
Because then otherwise you'd hear the terrifying music.
Of the drowning music. Nonstop.
Oh, my God. That's how it'd feel.
That's how I used to feel when I used to swim competitively on a tough race. Like, do I just swim to the bottom? I don't know. I always look
Sonic.
Forward to the Olympics.
We may have Cook and Bacon.
We don't have
Mario and Sonic. And Bacon, though.
Mario, Sonic, and Company.
Yep.
The rest. There are like 40 Olympic athletes just missing in action.
Yep.
That's insane.
That is.
Not real. You want to preface that. If you're listening to this and not watching the Olympics, there are not 40 athletes missing IRL.
Yes.
It's
the figurative term for a game that has not come out. All right, we got to go.
Yeah.
Come back for hour number three.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up strong.
Let's wrap it up without me getting just utterly frustrated at something.
Chance, John, I see you here. Let's hang out here, and we'll get John coming up next here on the other side. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.